KTRB, AM 860.
Now back to Right Off the Bat with Marty Lurie.
Boy, nice to have you back with us. A little chilly out here in Peoria, but just a beautiful day. Blue sky above and nice sunshine. A's and Padres coming up. Time now to rattle the lumber on behalf of Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. We'll bring in the captain. Good morning, Ken Korak.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, in the Bay Area, it's still morning.
That's correct.
Here it's the afternoon. Tomorrow when we do this, it'll be the afternoon wherever we are.
It'll be really synchronized tomorrow. It won't be afternoon in Hawaii tomorrow while we're doing the show.
No, it won't.
All your listeners in Hawaii will be just having their breakfast.
That's correct, which they can do, and they can listen through the streaming of KTRB or go to my website, loveofthegameproductions.com. Well, daylight savings time, that to me is one of the key moments of spring training because you really feel, hey, baseball is not that far away.
You really feel that way?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not really, but
because,
I thought I'd say that.
Because after today, the A's still have 27 games left in spring training,
including
the three against the Giants. We're a long ways from getting back home and starting the regular season, so there's really no sense of urgency. And that's why you're careful with guys that are dinged up or hurt. There's a lot of baseball left.
How do you like Jason Giambi getting his three times yesterday?
And they did issue a warning. Eddie Montague, the plate umpire, warned both benches, which you very rarely see in spring training. He's fine, did not need x-rays. Today's a scheduled off day for him anyway, for Jason and for Matt Holliday. But, Jared Washburn just had an awful game. Now, you don't want to base too much on what goes on in spring training, obviously, Marty, but... they gave him a lot of money up in Seattle, and he just continues to struggle. And he's one, you look at the Mariners, Washburn, Batista, Carlos Silva, so many of their signings were questionable.
Boy, you can say that again, and it cost Bill Bavese, unfortunately, his job. And he tried the best he could to sign free agents. It just didn't work out. And when you go that route, if it doesn't work out, it hamstrings your budget. You can't get rid of these people. You just can't get them on the market.
No, and that's why you develop young pitching and then you fill in with some veterans and maybe some free agents. But as we've said many times on the broadcast, the best way to go about it right now is to build your ball club with young pitching.
Well, we had a chance to talk to a couple of the scouts this morning, and of the big three, the young kids, and there's a long way to go to see if they can pitch major league innings and as a starting pitcher. But Vin Mazzara looks like the head of the class.
You know, I can't separate the three of them.
Yeah.
Is that what most of the scouts have
told
you?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I think it kind of depends on who they see on that particular day, because Cahill was great the other day against the Giants. And coming into the spring, I think the consensus was that Brett Anderson was the most advanced of the three. So I'm not willing to concede that Mazzara is ahead of the rest of those guys, although one thing about Mazzara, Marty, is that he's found a couple miles an hour on his fastball. Even the A's were a little surprised he came back, came to camp this year. And in the games that we've seen him, it used to be that Cahill was actually a harder thrower than Mazzara, and now Mazzara is throwing harder than Cahill. They're both up in the 90s.
Yeah, for early in spring training, of course, people come into camp in shape these days, but even for early spring training, it's been pretty impressive. Well, you look at this ball club, Nomar, Orlando Cabrera here, and I guess Bobby Crosby had to have a sit-down yesterday and discuss his future.
Well, I think you have to do that.
Right?
I mean, he's been the starting shortstop since 2004. And the thing is, they want him to play other positions.
Yeah.
And, obviously he'd rather play shortstop for another ball club, play every day. You can't blame him for that. But he was out this morning. It was before 9 o'clock at Phoenix Stadium working on playing second base.
Oh, terrific.
He was taking grounders. It was one-on-one tutelage with the former Athletic. And, Mike Gallego is a very good teacher, played the infield for the A's. I think he's going to do a great job, Marty, as the A's infield instructor this year. And he was working with Bobby Crosby at second base. They didn't work at first or third today, but they worked at second base.
Well, I think it's huge. And on a good winning team, not even saying a pennant-winning team, but on good teams, you have to be able to do that. And as a major league player, that's part of the game. I mean, I brought up Bill Madlock today. He was a batting champion, went from third to second because they needed a second baseman. And that's just the way the game works.
You have to separate the emotion.
Really?
Too. I mean, I know Billy Beane talked about this when he traded Hudson and Mulder. You know, how difficult that was for him because he saw these guys grow up. But when you're running a ball club, the most important thing to consider is what's best for the club. And as difficult as this is for Bobby, and it's a little uncomfortable, obviously, you have to make decisions and take the emotion out of those decisions. And the A's really felt they were better off this year with Cabrera.
Boy, spring training, a nice time of the year to be down here. We had a good time last night. Billy Williams, we got to spend some time with a great Hall of Famer. That was special.
Who has a real background with the A's, by the way. Played 2 years with the A's at the tail end of his career, 75 and 76, and spent 3 years as the A's hitting coach. He was on the big league staff in the mid-80s, so what a treasure he is. I mean, really a Hall of Famer as a person and as a ball player, of course.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing him talk about the Buckhorn Baths down here in Mesa, that the players used to come down and spend a week or two taking mineral baths and massages and then report to camp.
He said he used to come down 2 weeks early with Ernie Banks. You think all those Cubs teams, they never did anything, right?
Well, and they came close in 69.
In 69 was their big chance.
Yeah.
But they had Ernie Banks and Sanso and Billy Williams and Fergie Jenkins and... You know, never won a World Series.
No, and Leo DeRocher.
Remember that 1 year when they had 20 different coaches?
Yeah, that was the early 60s, the College of Coaches.
Bob Kennedy was one of the coaches,
Bob,
right?
Yeah, boy. I did a show on it. I'm going to have to drag it out
for
you.
They had at least eight managers that year, didn't they? Six or eight managers?
Yeah. It was kind of crazy, and then they scrapped it, and Leo came in to save it at that point.
Yeah.
He said, this isn't an eighth-place club. He was right. They ended up in 10th place is what happened. All right, have a good game.
Okay, Marty.
All right, that is the captain, Ken Korek, as we get ready for baseball here tomorrow morning, 11:30 tomorrow morning with Right Off the Bat. Today it's going to be Gio Gonzalez on the hill. We'll see what this young lefty can do. Look good in short relief, I'll tell you. He can give you two good innings. We'll see if they stretch him out today. Have a good morning, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 11:30, with another edition of Right Off the Bat.